Link's Awakening DX for the Game Boy Color was the first Zelda game I ever played. I remember I bought the game around the time that Ocarina of Time came out for the Nintendo 64, and since all I had was a Game Boy Color, I could only experience the excitement around that game vicariously through this portable Zelda. I played this game all the way through with my brother, who's 3 years younger than me, and in 1996, we didn't really have the internet, nor did we have a strategy guide, so this game took us a full year to beat. I give you this as a preamble to give you some context in how I have viewed this game in my memory over the years. I spent a full year beating this game, 1/10 of my life at the time. So this game has a larger part of my video gaming memories than most other games I played as a kid. It makes me think back to a time when games were precious and I could buy one game and have it last me way more time than any game could possibly hope to today. It makes me look back fondly on those many hours playing with my brother, looking over my shoulder as we try to figure out what the hell we're supposed to do next. But again, I was 10 at the time, and while the feelings this game made me feel linger on, the specifics of what actually happens in the game were pretty vague. So how does this remake, published 26 years after the original game, hold up? In short, this is currently my favorite game of 2019, and I think it's one of my favorite Zelda games in the franchise. Link's Awakening has a slightly different feel from all other games in the Zelda franchise. The biggest thing that struck me was how small the game world actually is. This was originally a Game Boy game, so the smaller size makes sense, but even still, I was kind of shocked when I was playing through the first hour of the game and looked at my map to see that the town, the beach, and the forest I had explored made up a shockingly large portion of the game world. Likewise, the dungeons in the game are smaller than what you get from most Zelda games, especially early in the game. There are dungeons that are pretty straightforward and take a grand total of 10 or 15 minutes to defeat if you don't get stuck. But what makes Link's Awakening special is how well it takes advantage of this smaller scope. By the end of the game, you have an intimate knowledge of the game world because you need to explore every square inch of it throughout the journey. The game is really a puzzle box in that it's small enough to learn intimately, and you really need to do everything to finish the game. And I really do mean basically everything. Even things like the trading sequence, which is a Legend of Zelda mainstay, is mandatory in this game. Usually this is a side quest that rewards you with a cool but optional item. Because it's very difficult, it's hard to figure out, it takes a while, but you simply cannot complete Link's Awakening without completing the trading sequence as well. And the trading sequence brings up another thing I found wonderful about this game, and that's the challenge in figuring out what to do. The combat in this game is rarely very difficult, and the puzzles and dungeons are not the hardest in the world. But figuring out what to do next is quite a challenge sometimes. There are no waypoints or characters who tell you exactly where to go in this game. Instead, you have to use that intimate knowledge you've gained about the world to suss out what your next steps need to be. The main objective is to go through the game's 8 dungeons in a very specific order. There's no flexibility there. In each dungeon, you'll find a new item, and most of the time, that new item will let you get places in the overworld you couldn't before. If you can find where your new toys let you go, then you'll find your way to the next dungeon. It's very clever and just very satisfying. You'll also get what usually amounts to a single word like desert or waterfall, and that lets you know where to head. This combination of your new item and this one-word clue should get you where you need to go, but that's rarely enough to get you all the way there. Sometimes there's a key you need to find first, or maybe there's a secret passage you need to find that takes you to the dungeon entrance. Without spoiling much, but maybe saving you a little bit of wasted time in the game, keep an eye out for bubbles in the water when you're swimming. And then there's the story, which joins Majora's Mask as being one of the oddball ones in the Zelda series. I would say skip the rest of this video if you don't want spoilers, up to and including the ending of the game. Still here? Awesome. Let's keep going. There is no Zelda, no Ganon, no Triforce, or many of the other things you might expect to see in a Zelda story. It's just Link who washes up on shore of a mysterious island and needs to figure out what's going on. As you walk around and talk to the people in this island, you can't help but become attached to them. They're all so full of life and personality that you don't always see in games. The delightful dialogue, most of which is taken directly from the 1993 original, paired with this beautiful art style, create characters who are incredibly endearing. Even the side quest characters manage to get their hooks into you. The Ghost's brief storyline and plot tangent will stick with me for a long time as a great example. And it's a good thing that the game makes you feel attached to this world, because about two-thirds of the way through the game, you start to get hints as to what's actually going on here. This is no normal island, of course. It's living inside the mind of the Great Windfish. The villains in this game have found a way to keep the Windfish asleep forever, and as long as it sleeps, they will live on in this dream. Link, by doing what Link does in destroying evil, he's taking actions that will wake the Windfish and ruin this plan. Waking the Windfish should get Link back to his reality, but it also means destroying this world. A world full of people and places that we've come to love. It's a lot to process, and I'm sure there is a read on this game that says Link is selfish for ruining so many quote-unquote lives for his own, but that's not my takeaway, and I don't think it's the intention of the game makers either. It's what has to be done. Dreams do not last forever, no matter how much we love them. When the final boss is defeated and the Windfish wakes, we see a montage of the characters, the people we've met along the way, fade to white. They disappear as quickly as they came into our lives, and it's a genuinely sad moment when this happens. At a meta level, it helped me say goodbye to these people as my game time with them was also coming to an end. All video games are like this, really. We pop into their world, have some fun, slay some bad guys, only to be taken from them when the credits roll and we move on to the next game. Link's Awakening does the same thing, but builds it into the plot of the game, which I really appreciate. Link's Awakening for the Switch is not perfect. The frame rate is terrible when transitioning from area to area, the game might hold a little too true to the Game Boy game at times, and the boss battles are pretty simplistic overall, but the pros far outweigh the cons here. I didn't even mention the soundtrack, which is out of this world amazing. Link's Awakening is a masterful remake of an already classic game. It gets my highest recommendation, whether you've played the original game or not.